love. It's all we ever talk about, from pulpit to pew and prayer and poetry and song and scripture. Love. It's all Jesus ever talks about as he walks about, healing and holding, calling and comforting, chiding and challenging. Love. It's all our story is about. From before time started ticking to the timeless mystery of beyond, from a call to desert wanderings to a garden bursting with life. Love. It's all God is about. And to know love, to show love, to give love. All we need is God. God is all we need. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all looking so summery. Imagine that in a beautiful day like today. It's lovely to have you all with us, and a welcome to any visitors with us this morning. A welcome too to those who are listening online or perhaps by CD later in the week. The order of service sheet has a number of intimations that I want to maybe just highlight and then just a couple to add. This coming Friday at 7 o'clock at Hazelhead Park, there is a special commemoration service marking the commemoration of the Piper Alpha disaster. And there's a warm welcome extended by the chaplaincy in the oil services to anyone who'd like to join at the Piper Alpha Memorial Garden on Friday evening. And also Ferry Hill Parish Church invite anyone who would like to come along on Saturday between 10 o'clock and 4 p.m. just for some quiet time in their little chapel there with their memorial window. You'll be very, very welcome. Our summer breakfast services start next Sunday, so if it's still lovely weather like this and you think, oh, well, 10:30 is going to get in the way of getting out in the sunshine and enjoying it, come along at 9 o'clock instead, have your breakfast, stay for a short service of worship, and then you have the rest of the day. But you're also welcome to come along here as well. You can do both or one or the other. Please yourselves, it's up to you, whatever fits with your summer mode for this the next 6 weeks. There's a big thank you from the folks of Archway for the support that they got yesterday at the strawberry teas. I went along and, oh my goodness me, all those lovely cakes and strawberries and cream, and oh, it was just lovely. And it was lovely to see it so busy and so full of life. So yes, a thank you from the team there. Next Saturday, it's Tornadee's turn. And Norman has been in to see me this morning just to say an added attraction next Sunday, Saturday morning, is that there'll be a ukulele band playing, along with your strawberries and your scones and whatever fancies they have there. So if that tickles your fancy, then that's next Saturday morning for you to enjoy. I will leave you to read everything else that's there for the moment. Love one another. Love because love is from God. Love because God is love. Love because God loves us. Love as God loves us. Love one another. Let us worship the God of love. We stand and sing, Great God, your love has called us here. Hymn 484 in your hymn books.
Thank you.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, you are a God of love, a God of peace, a faithful God. You love us each and every day. And we love because you first loved us. Lord God, you sent Jesus to your world to wrap love in flesh, to show us how to love one another just as you love us. Holy Spirit, you surround us and embrace us. You inspire us and guard us. You challenge us to love everyone, every day. But it's not easy. We try, but we do not always get it right. We try to love often in our own way and not your way. We give up on people too easily and walk away. For all the times that we have failed to love and to allow others to love us, forgive us. Creator, Son, and Spirit, help us to love one another. Help us to forgive others just as you have forgiven us. Lord, may we answer your call as commanded by your Son with the guidance of your Spirit. And we join our voices in Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How good are we at sums? Are we good at sums? Can you count? Can you count? How many corners does my piece of paper have? Four? Okay. So what happens if I take my bit of paper and I do this? How many corners does my bit of paper have now?
Six.
We'll count them. One, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, eight. What happens if I cut my bit of paper again? Now how many corners do we have? You can help if you like. How many?
11.
Well, we count. So there's two bits that have got three corners. So that's six there, isn't it? Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. 12, you were very close. Okay, so we're up to 12 corners. So I'll cut another corner off. So how many corners does my bit of paper have now? So there were 12 before. I've now got another three here. 12 and 3 is 15, isn't it? And I've made an extra one there. So 16, do we think? Yeah, and I could go on cutting my bit of paper and making more and more corners, more and more bits of paper. But do you know what's on my bit of paper? Do you know what my bit of paper represents? God's love. Now, God's love is huge. But do you know how we can make God's love even bigger? Can you think how we might make God's love even bigger than it already is? Well, we make it bigger by sharing it. So, Andrew, you can have those bits. Ezra, you can have those. You can have those. And what we're going to do is we sing our next little song. We're going to pass down two bits of God's love and a pair of scissors, and everyone gets to take away a bit of God's love today. And what I'm going to encourage you then to do is, as we go into our lives outside the church, is to continue sharing God's love. And you can do that in so many ways, not just by cutting off a bit of paper and passing it around. But the more we share God's love, the bigger it gets. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's the most wonderful thing about God's love. The more you share it, the bigger it gets. And we're going to sing a little song. We sang it just a couple of weeks ago because it was one of the ones asked for by Jam in our songs of praise. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, which is number 563 in your hymn books. And I'm going to pass around this bit of paper here. I'll give it to Carol. And if you could just keep passing it around the church as the service goes on. And if I start over here, I'll give this one to Owen, and you can start cutting away as well. And we'll just share God's love with us as we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Anybody jealous, but the children are going to have some fun in the sun, and I heard word there might be some ice cream involved. Will you manage to save me some? Will you maybe save me a little bit? That'd be nice. It'll be nice. I'll come out and see you after the service and see how you're getting on. Have fun.
Our reading this morning is taken from the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. You'll find this on page 305 of the Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of God. Love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on Judgment Day. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ's. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. So then, love has not been made perfect in anyone who is afraid, because fear has to do with punishment. We love God because God first loved us. If we say we love God but hate our brothers and sisters, we are liars. For people cannot love God whom they have not seen if they do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: all who love God must love their brother or sister also. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise forever. Amen.
Thank you, Colin, for reading from God's word. We sing together the hymn that's on the sheet inside your orders of service. Such love, pure as the whitest snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love paying the debt I owe. O Jesus, such love.
Mm-hmm.
the power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul, flame on burned desire, love with tongues of fire, purge the soul, make love your goal. Anyone recognize these words? If you were a teenager in the 1980s, then you should. They are from Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And the song, The Power of Love, spent just 1 week at number one before being ousted by Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas? As a pop song, it's easy to dismiss its lyrics, but I think this chorus has some powerful words in it. The power of love, a force from above, make love your goal. The single, when it was released, was accompanied by a video featuring the Nativity, and the single cover has a picture of the Assumption of Mary upon it. And the religious aspect of this song was deliberate. Holly Johnson, who wrote the song, said of it, "I always felt like the power of love was the record that would save me in this life. There is a biblical aspect to its spirituality and passion, the fact that love is the only thing that matters in the end." Love, the only thing that matters in the end. Our reading this morning follows on from what we heard last week. It's as though, having got the difficult business of the false prophets out of the way, the writer is free to focus on what really matters: relationships within the community of believers, which are or should be firmly rooted in the love of God. This letter has become a love letter. A love letter that describes better than any passage in the Bible who love is, why we love, and what love looks like. Now, there are lots of different kinds of love. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, describes some of them. Storge, which is affection or empathy. Philia, friendship. Eros, the sexual passion. And agape, unconditional, universal love. And what they all have in common is that they are, of necessity, relational. We cannot love without entering into relationship with someone or something other than ourselves, with all the vulnerability and the risk that that implies. Our reading is an exploration of agape love, generous, self-giving love. Love that wants only the good of the other and demands nothing in return. Love of the kind evidenced in God's giving of his own life in Jesus for the life of the world is not merely an attribute of God, but the very essence of God's being. Love is the foundation on which creation exists, in which God exists. They are one and the same. They cannot exist without the other. God is love, and we love because God first loves us, and Christ commanded that we love our neighbour. The power of love, that force from above. God's love is all-encompassing, incomprehensible. God's love is, well, at times just too much, or that's how it feels. Someone said to me recently that through my preaching, they'd heard a thread of God's inclusive love, the forgiveness and love of God for all. And I truly believe this. There is no one outside the love of God. And this is where it can become too much, or at least feel too much. God's love is so all-encompassing, all so inclusive, that even the most unloveliest become lovable. Think about that for a minute. Think about the people you know, family members, colleagues, teammates, fellow worshippers, people in the news, people convicted of heinous crimes, politicians, world leaders, all those people who make your blood boil. Yep, God loves them too. And that's hard, isn't it? When I'm yelling at the telly or swearing at the radio, When I hear of yet another inhuman act by whoever, that's a beloved of God I'm yelling or swearing at. A beloved of God acting against other beloveds of God. Told you it was hard. But that's what our reading today is teaching us. Because if we hate, then we don't love God. And that's why one of my biggest fears for the world at the moment is the growing narrative that sets one set of people up against another, creating a fear of the other. So often we want to keep people we disagree with or we have some unfounded fear of at arm's length. If we keep them over there, they won't impact on our lives. And then we can harbour our disagreements, our prejudices, even our hatred. But that's not loving God. Loving God means loving your neighbour as yourself. A wee quote I read this week, and I've no idea who said it first, was simply, "It's hard to hate close up. When you have to look someone in the eye, it's hard to hate them." Hate is such a negative thing. Far better to love. And far better for your own well-being to love. Another powerful quote I've reflected on over the last few years in relation to the ongoing migrant and refugee crisis in the Mediterranean and Aegean Seas is this one. We all live under the same sky. Those words belong to Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of what was the new West Germany. Those words have such power as they wipe away any idea that anyone is so very different from anyone else. When we look up at the sky, it's the same sky that those in other parts of the world look at. The Syrian refugee living in a camp in Jordan or in Greece. The child playing on the beach in Gaza. The Malawian girl fetching water from a well at the end of a long track. The Mexican child huddled under a foil blanket. The presidents and leaders of the nations. The same sky, created by God for each one of his beloved children to share. It's just over 2 years since I travelled to Chios in Greece as part of my minister's study leave. On my return, I spent the second part of my study leave reflecting on my time on the island, working amongst the migrants and refugees there. I also spent time researching a theological response to the ongoing crisis. And I want to share some of what I wrote then with you now. If you'd like to see or hear or read even the whole of the report, please let me know. I'm happy to share what I wrote. But I share this as an illustration of what God's love looks like and how we can adjust our own lenses to a particular crisis in the world. In my research, I read a helpful paper written by Daniel G. Grudy, which gives four different ways to think about the migrancy of people. The first, and perhaps the most important in my mind, is to grasp the concept of us all being God's children made in his image. Imago Dei. And Grudy writes, defining all people, all human beings in terms of Imago Dei provides a very different starting point for the discourse of migration and creates a very different trajectory for the discussion. Imago Dei names the personal and relational nature of human existence and the mystery that human life cannot be understood apart from the mystery of God. This is so often ignored in public discussion about migrants and refugees. And yet this is such a simple and obvious place for Christians to begin. Rather than seeing migrants and refugees as a social and political problem to be solved, if we see them as being made in God's image first and foremost, then we can have a very different conversation. The second of Grudy's approaches considers Verbum Dei, the divine and human divide, the Word of God, God made flesh, the Incarnation. Grudy suggests no aspect of theology of migration is more fundamental nor more challenging in its implications than the incarnation. Through Jesus, God enters into the broken and sinful territory of the human condition in order to help men and women lost in their earthly sojourn find their way back home to God. The journey is a huge part of our faith story. Jesus, the incarnation, sent to bring us back to God. Jesus, the incarnation, born at a time when registration was a priority. In Matthew's gospel, the Holy Family flee, fearing for the life of the incarnation, becoming refugees. And there's a parallel to the migration scene in Exodus. John's gospel records the reluctance to believe in Jesus because of where he had grown up. God became one of us and took the life of a migrant and refugee. Grudy's third approach to a theology of migration is through considering Missio Dei. God's love is for all. Everyone is Imago Dei, and the verbum Dei is everybody's. No one is excluded. The mission of the church is to bring this to the world. Jesus did not live in a holy huddle of purity. Rather, he mixed with Gentiles and with others. He pushed the boundaries of the religious laws and crossed over when the law of love deemed it necessary. Human need was his priority. Now, law is where many go when trying to make sense of the migration and refugee problem. And whilst I'm not suggesting that we break the law, there is something to be learned from Jesus' approach. Grudy argues the structures of a society must be seriously examined under the entirety of legal reasoning. When thousands of immigrants and refugees die each year trying to cross areas like the deserts of the American Southwest or the waters dividing North Africa from Europe. Here, many different kinds of law are at work. Law of nation that control borders. Laws of human nature that lead people to seek opportunities for more dignified lives. Natural law that deals with ethical dimensions of responding to those in need. And divine law that expresses the Creator's will for all people. He goes on, the fact that many migrants are dying in their efforts to meet basic human needs raises serious questions about civil laws and policies and their dissonance from other forms of law. The death of so many people trying to get to a safer life is one of the world's greatest catastrophes and greatest shames. Grudy's final approach theologically is Visio Dei. He argues that Imago Dei, Verbum Dei, and Mission Dei are all based on this. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. The concepts of what is possible in this world and the perfection that is to come in heaven. How do we ensure heaven on earth now, rather than looking towards what is to come? And if this is our goal and indeed God's aim, the Visio Dei, then how does this influence our approaches to migrants and refugees and other human tragedies? When we denigrate and stigmatize migrants and refugees, where is the Visio Dei? God's love demands that we walk with and support those in need, not put them down even more. The words and actions of Christians should markedly speak of the Visio Dei. And Grudy explains the Visio Dei comes into focus in the person of Jesus Christ and the kingdom he proclaimed. The kingdom of truth and life, holiness and grace, justice, love and peace brings people into a different kind of social and ethical territory. It is based not on geography or politics, but on divine initiative and openness of heart, leading to a different kind of vision of the current world order, where many of the first are last and the last first. Grudy's four approaches helps us think through the why of an appropriate response to the migrant and refugee crisis. It helps us move from a them and us to a simple us. Imago Dei. This is not about religion interfering with politics. It is about God and his Visio Dei. It is about the example of the Incarnation and the Verbum Dei, and how through a Missio Dei we value God's love for all. Grudy, in summing up his theology of migration, his trying to understand where God is and should be in this, all of this, says, a theology of migration seeks to understand what it means to take on the mind and heart of Christ in light of the plight of today's migrants and refugees. To limit compassion to the borders of one's nationality, one's family, or even oneself is a migration towards disintegration. When we choose to turn a blind eye, to not engage in the suffering of others, we are turning our backs on love and the opportunity to love. We are turning our backs on God's beloved children. We are turning our backs on God. The plight of the refugees is one that is dear to my heart, and I know there are many other crises that demand our attention. It can be quite overwhelming to know where to start. When I read passages like ours today from the Bible, I am reminded of God's love for us all. We all share the same sky. We all share the same love of God. Eugene Peterson's The Message translation of one of the verses in our passage says this: the command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. So that's the starting point when we look at all the hurt people and places in our world. They need love, our love, God's love in action through us. And so we do what we can, in little ways and in bigger ways. Each tin in the food bank box, each article of clothing in a charity shop, each donation to our chosen causes, each letter written to politicians asking for action, each hour spent volunteering, each smile shared with a stranger, each prayer spoken to God, each action of love, God's love through us. The power of love, a force from above. Make love your goal. Amen. We continue to show our love to God through our offering. Let us pray. May all we offer this day of ourselves or our finances be an outpouring of love for you and your world. May our offering bring love to the unloved, compassion to the needy, and provision for those who go without. O Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Continue in our worship singing hymn 115, Love is the Touch of Intangible Joy, hymn 115. Not just one of the most beautiful hymns speaking of God's love. We come now to our prayers for others. We're going to try something a little bit different this morning. There is a chorus to this prayer, which we're going to sing. Emily's just making her way down to the piano, and we're using one of the Tezi prayers for this. I'm going to begin the prayer spoken, and then when you hear the line, "Hear us, Lord God," we're going to sing together the little Tezi chant, "O Lord, hear my prayer." Now, you don't have the words for that in front of you. It's not in the hymn book and it's not in the bit of paper, but it's very simple. "O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me." So, Emily, you're going to play it through just once. I'll sing it along. Apologies for my rotten singing, but I'll sing along with Emily just to let you hear how it goes, and then we'll go into the prayer. Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. Oh, Lord, during the prayer, when you hear me say the line, "Hear us, O God," we'll sing those words together. Let's come to God in prayer. God of heaven and earth, our world, your world, is in desperate need of love. We wake up each day to news stories of a world torn apart by conflict, war, and persecution. God of love, may our love for one another bring an end to this pain. Hear us, Lord God. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When within minutes, even seconds, we see our world in need of love. Our air is choked with fumes, our land and sea polluted with plastics and chemicals. God of love, may our love for our environment bring an end to this pain. Hear us, Lord God.
Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. God, I call, answer me. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me.
In our streets, behind closed doors, we see your children in need of love. Children and adults being abused physically, sexually, and psychologically in their own homes. People being abused in the same ways in their workplace. People being trafficked or sold as sex slaves. God of love, may these evils be stopped. May the victims know that they are loved. Enable us to be agents of justice, to speak out and stand up against these sins. May our love for the suffering bring an end to this pain. Hear us, Lord God.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer.
In homes, hospitals, and hospices, we know of people journeying with illness or preparing to die. God of love, be with those who are sick. Be with those who are afraid of what lies ahead. Be with healthcare professionals and family members who lovingly care for the sick at this time. May their love for the sick bring comfort in this time of pain. Hear us, Lord God.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord,
in hope, in faith, and in love, we offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to our closing hymn this morning, a hymn full of words of assurance. Assurance that Jesus is mine. And so we stand to sing hymn 561. Please, if you don't normally come through for tea and coffee after the service, please feel free to come through this morning and join some time of fellowship through there. But we stand and sing to close, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Thank you.
God is love, love is God. Let's go and reveal God's love by loving each other. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with and in you, each and always.